Well, this day is off to an interesting start. Hopefully it's going to get a little bit better. Let's just dive right in. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Okay, that's not how the show usually starts, but the Blitz is on. Is it? Or are we gone? Everything just went dead in here. We're on? Okay, good. Welcome to what usually is the greatest show in the history of the known universe, with me, Fred Fowler. There will be no A.J. Hoffman today. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jong Lee back at studio. The evil Tyler out here keeping us on air. If you want to get in, best way to do it will be to text the show at 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At some point today, it'll be at Jerome Solomon. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, and of course, text the show, you know the number. And it's a Thursday, we're out here at Saloon Door Brewery in Webster, which is one of our favorite places to come down south, and already getting my first beer poured, but not off to the greatest start to the day, but if I understand right, Barry Laminack is in studio and is going to help me out here for a little bit as we await Jerome Solomon, because A.J. Hoffman will not be here today.
What? What'd he do?
Remember yesterday I was telling the story about how he bought a brand new car for his wife?
Yeah.
Today he apparently wrecked it.
What?
One day
that's
after buying
so
the car.
That's so
AJ. Yeah, I have not actually heard from him, so John can probably update it.
Is he okay, first of all? Before I start making fun of him, is he in one piece?
Yes.
Or alive?
He called me and said, bro, I'm not going to make the show. I'm like, what? He goes...
And what time did he call you?
He called me
3:58.
No. He called me around, I think, 2:30 or so.
Okay.
And he said, I'm not going to make the show. I wrecked my car, and I was driving my wife's car.
Oh.
And then I asked him, if he was okay. He said he was okay. And then I was frantically... So this has been my day so far. I've been frantically... You know, trying to get a producer to produce tonight's show, the HD show, which because we had a little bit of need on the engineering front, which is why Tyler's out there at Saloon Door Brewing, and apparently all the producers that we have around here are going to that U of H game. So this morning I was trying to see if anybody else was available, and nobody was available to do that. So I'm here until 10 o'clock.
What?
Yeah, 12-hour day for me.
Oh.
But I'm not complaining at all. But
hey, at least you have a car.
And then and then I get that call from AJ, and then I call Shock. And of course, Shock's on a client call in Cyprus.
Oh.
And then I call Jerome. He said he can do it.
I was going to say, you should have just poked your head in the door and said, hey, Barry, will you stay?
Well, I didn't know you were going to stay.
I could have stayed. I mean, I don't have my show until like 8 o'clock. Dude, I was good.
Well, I want, if anything, we would want you to be at Saloon Door just to, you know, make things easier.
I got you.
And then about 30 minutes ago, we lost power to this damn place.
Yeah, we did.
And I'm subbing in for Tyler on 1560, and the entire board flickers for... It would have felt like 2 minutes.
Well, Joel and I were like asking people, hey, are we still on air? Because we heard a bunch of pops in our headphones.
Yep.
And then lost internet, lost the connectivity to the board, everything.
And if you were listening, and if you were listening to Prime Cut, then you heard a nothing because we lost power to the entire 1560 station.
But what you're saying is 97.5 is on the generator on the backup grid. It's just the AM station.
No, I have no idea what happened.
Oh.
And then I frantically call AD. We get everything up again. And we, because of the power outage, Tyler couldn't get connected to the station until 2 minutes before we're on air. And I'm running around powering everything on because there's nobody else here to do it. And now I'm going to have to leave you gentlemen for a couple minutes to power something else back on that needs to be
so
powered
great.
Back on. I'm out.
This is so great.
And the best part is poor Tyler's sitting here just full panic. You know, like, God, he thinks it's the internet here. So he's having them reset it every 5 seconds. No, it's not. It's at the station. Me, I'm just like, hey, whatever. I got beer. I'm good.
Yeah. Lucky you. I'm sitting up here staring at nothing. You've got tons of beer in front of you. No wonder you don't sound panicked at all.
Yeah, I'm nice and relaxed. I haven't had a chance to dive into it yet, but I'm going to. But no, but it's just one of those things, man. Everything that could possibly go wrong. Well, I don't want to say that because we could get cut off and not be on air.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So there is that. We are on air. We are, well, half of us are at Zehlendorf Brewery. And, yeah, so that's just, I cannot believe one day after he buys the car, he wrecks it. I hope it's not totaled because that's a disaster. Because even if you've got gap insurance, you don't get money back for a down payment for another one.
No.
So, hopefully.
Boy, I hope it's not. So, have you talked to him at all, Fred?
No, I sent him a text, but I haven't heard from him. So, but I'm sure he'll fill me in at some point.
So, do we know if it was his fault?
I don't know.
Oh.
If he was texting, you know, and wrecked that car, you know how much grief he's going to get on the show after all the conversations we've had about that.
Oh God, I'm really praying that was the case. Oh, I want it to be his fault and that he was on his phone so bad.
Yeah, that he was tweeting or something.
I don't, but I do. I really do.
Well, at this point, it's already happened, right? The accident's happened, so. And he's okay.
There
so
you go.
It's better for us if it's his fault.
Yes.
So we might as well be selfish about it, right?
I am in full agreement. Yeah. I hope that he was maybe like even watching porn on his phone while driving. And just, yeah, it was so bad. I hope so. I hope it's his fault.
I wanted to ask you a question because this is something that I would appreciate an answer from you on and from the Blitzers. And I put it out on social media earlier today. But as you know, I live in a high rise, and I'm in the elevator all the time.
Yeah.
And it has become an epidemic where people get on the elevator. There'll be three or four people on there, and they're on speakerphone having a conversation. And today some woman's doing it about sushi restaurants.
What?
So I asked, and I'm asking you, is it an appropriate response for me to open up my iTunes and play Pantera's Walk as loud as I possibly can? Now, I had some other suggestions, like pretend you have Tourette's and, you know, scream at them, you know.
Mike,
it rubs a lotion on his skin! I wanted to do something like that.
Yeah.
Or pretend to have a conversation of my own and just get on there.
And
just kind of really loud say something like, yeah, buddy, how are you? Yeah, how's that pus coming out of the sores on your butt doing? Those are all options, but
that would be what I would start with. Is I guess my first reaction would just be to call someone and talk really loudly about the a-hole on the elevator using their speakerphone. But then,
I've got it. I'm going to call you and put you on speaker.
There you go.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah. And then my other option would be if I didn't have a phone or couldn't get a signal, I would just make the fart noises with my armpit as loud as I could and just disrupt everything.
Yeah. But I feel like I have to act. I feel like it's a moral imperative that I take a stand here and let people know this isn't okay. Because the easy thing to do would be just put my earbuds in and ignore them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's – and the thing that bothers me a little bit, it's not fair to the other three or four people if I do something stupid too. But if I kind of let them in on it, you know, say, hey, guys, apologizing in advance. Hope you like Pantera.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. And, you know, if you pick up a few stray casualties, it's going to happen, you know?
The good news is we're going to buy a place here pretty soon, so I'm not going to be living there that much longer. So nice. I really don't care what kind of napalm I drop there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, basically, my lease is up in February. We're going to be moved out by then. So, yeah, I might as well fire, right?
Right.
But it happened three times today because I went down to the gym. And somebody does it. And then I went down to get some breakfast, and there was somebody else. And then I'm coming up, and there's one more, and I just snapped. I'm just like, okay, I've had enough of this. Somebody has to do something. And I feel it's my duty as an American to make this stop.
I'm with you. You get my vote. I would certainly, if this would have been your platform, I think we wouldn't have had to sit through a Trump presidency. I think you would have been our next leader.
Oh, well, I'll run against him in 4 years. We'll try it then. Yeah, somebody on the text line says, Tuesday, AJ helps a girl who gets in a car accident. Wednesday, AJ gets a new car. Thursday, AJ crashes that car. What are the odds? I don't know.
I'm going to go 100% now.
yeah, exactly. And it's like those poker hands they show on TV where you're like 0.1%, and then you get the card, and you're 100%.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I feel so bad for the guy because I know his wife. I really want the details now. I have to know if he caused it. John, do you know if it was his fault?
He did not say.
Oh.
Well, he's been awful quiet, so.
Yeah, he just posted something on Facebook an hour ago that when you buy your wife a car on Wednesday, then you wreck it on Thursday. This is my day so far. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, man, that is the worst. He has the worst luck with vehicles. He really does.
He does. Well, you don't have great luck either.
Oh, no, don't say that. I got to drive home again.
My bad.
And I'm driving to Louisiana Saturday. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be for fun. I'm actually going over there having some big horse races at Delta Downs, so I'm going to go over there and crush those bad boys.
Yeah, you get out there a lot?
Yeah, I don't get there. I go about once a year now. I go. They have this $1 million race every November, and I was supposed to go last year, but I was stuck in an airport in Vegas for the entire day when United screwed up my flight.
Mm.
But every other year I go. So going over there, and it'll give me a chance to plug the website a little bit, which Barry's contributed some great stuff for. I've got a whole gambling guide for the Delta Jackpot. AJ's fantasy rankings are up. Tim Burgess did a great thing on the Kovalev Ward fight that's coming up Saturday night. And then there's the usual daily update that has all my nonsense. So if you get
Dude,
a chance.
I'm telling you, I drink my coffee, and I wait for you to post the link, drink my coffee, read it every morning.
Well, I appreciate
that. Before I come
to
the show. It's awesome.
Try to have fun with it. And,
yeah.
HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. Check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, maybe we'll have Jerome. If not, hopefully Barry can hang around a little bit. Always fun doing the show with him. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yeah, that's perfect. I was using the wrong headphones, so I was using the ones that are sitting here for Jerome that aren't turned on yet. This is just wonderful. I got to tell you.
It just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, what a great day.
And Jong is in here. He looks like Yanni on two boards, just going back and forth between the two. And I told him, you know, Jong, I'm here until like 6:30 or 7. I'll go in there and run 1560 if you show me how. I've been wanting to learn anyways, because one day, if me and my co-host ever pepper spray our producer, someone's got to be able to get us to commercial break.
I think that's a good plan.
See? I think so, too.
I've been vowing to learn that ever since it happened, and then I'm kind of like, what the hell?
It's like when you get your hurricane preparedness kit together, but you never do, because you're like, I'll wait, and then you don't. Yeah. And then you're without food and water and electricity for weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those where I'm just kind of like, if he dies, he dies. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So, 713-780-ESPN. So, I do have books for me and AJ and Jong. Beer snobs are boring. So, I'm getting a mall signed for us. How about that? Brought them by a Saloon Door Brewery. So, anyway, hopefully AJ's all right. We'll find out what's going on with that. But, so Barry, you have a show tonight. You're not going to the game?
No, I am in the finals of the Joke Joint Comedy Contest. And so it's me and seven other comics vying for $1,000. I mean, I'm going to lose, let's be real. But yeah, I made it to the finals. The first time in 3.5 years doing comedy I've ever made it to the finals of a contest.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So there's six other people?
Yeah, seven other comics, eight total.
Oh, eight. Okay, yep. So seven people, if they suddenly had something go wrong, like a couple of them couldn't show up, and then two of them got sick and were throwing up, and then one suddenly got a really bad sore throat. I could probably make all that happen for you for half the money.
I'm going to need it, and I would glad to split $500 with you for that, easily. I mean, you'll probably have to go in the hole to get all that to happen, but hell, I'll give you three quarters of it if you can make that happen.
I'll just trade beer for it, so it's all good.
There you go.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about the UH game tonight, because and I wrote about this morning, how it unfortunately, man, a month ago, this looked like this was going to be game of the year, and then you know, Louisville still means a lot for UH. There's really nothing they can gain from this except to get back in the rankings, which, let's be honest, doesn't mean a whole lot. Mm. The reality is they can't win the conference now, and that means no big bowl. That means you're going to some Bell Helicopter Bowl or something, and it doesn't matter whether you beat Louisville or not. And I guess the only real motivation is this your big bowl game? Because whoever you play in that's not going to be as prominent as Louisville. So, I mean, I guess that's the motivation. But the team that I've seen out there now for the last month is just not very good. It's closer to the Tony LaVine era teams than what we saw last year. And I think two thoughts on it, and I want to hear from you, because I think part of it is, while they're really good, they're not as good as last year. And when you just look at some of the guys that are playing in the NFL now, Kenneth Farrow, who's a backup running back for the Chargers, who's playing well when he's in there. They lost Landon Roberts, the linebacker, who's playing for the Patriots and playing well. They lost two safeties who both got at least one on practice squad. And then they lost William Jackson, who was a first-round corner. If you're University of Houston and you're losing three NFL-caliber players, you can get by with that at LSU. Yeah, that's a down year for LSU. But if you're University of Houston and you're losing three guys of that caliber, it's impossible to replace them. And I think that's part of it. And they don't have the depth that they had last year. They missed DeMarcus Ayers, who was their best receiver. They're still good, but those guys were a huge, huge loss, and I think that's a lot that contributed to those two really bad setbacks.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on the depth thing. I think that's starting to show more and more, which is why they look so bad against Navy and SMU, and really have looked bad most of the year. But I guess my question would be, you know, yeah, they're missing all of that NFL talent now, but so what was it that allowed them to go in and beat OU to start the season? If it's not there now, what do you think? My thought is, and I'm hearing this from other people as well, is it the fact that this team has kind of quit on him because they're sure he's leaving, whether it's been said behind closed doors or not?
I don't think that's the case at all. I think the difference is when you play a team like Oklahoma, you want to play them week one. And you've prepared for that, you know, not all year, obviously, but you've had much more time to prepare for them. And they're going to get your best shot. And they were completely healthy at that point. Greg Ward was healthy. I don't think Greg Ward's anywhere near 100% right now. And he left the game Saturday again, and I think that's led to a bunch of turnovers. He's been beaten up this year. So I don't think that it's anything like that necessarily, but they have had some off-field issues, and some of those things have been distractions. And now it's really, what do you have to play for? And I think that's the biggest problem with this team now. It's how do you get up for Tulane when you know you're going to some minor nothing bowl?
Yeah, you're probably right, because once they lost to Navy, they were still, I mean, they still had a chance as long as they had beaten Louisville. But once they accrued that second loss against SMU and the way that they lost, then yeah, for sure. Now it's like, what is Tulane going to do for you?
And so this game, I think they'll get up for it. And you know, the fan in me thinks that 14.5 points is way too much. The realistic gambler in me says, you know what? I think they're going to stomp on their face, man. I really do. I think Louisville's going to stomp on their face, and I think 14.5 is a good number. So yeah. I hope that's not the case, man. I hope they go out, fire their best shot. Now, to be perfectly honest, if you look at Tom Herman's history, when he's been a double-digit dog at UH, they win every game.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, but, see, when I said, before I even knew the line, I said 14 points at least. But it honestly isn't going to surprise me if Louisville beats them by 21. I just don't know that. I mean, look what they've done. They've given up 38 to SMU, 24 to UCF. I mean, this defense is non-existent. And as much as great as Louisville is playing right now, with so much to lose if they go out and even have a bad game, even if it's close, you could see them slip a little bit. So I think they have everything to gain by going out and dominating U of H. So it's even that much more motivation for them.
Well, yeah, because that team has a chance to get into the playoffs. Yeah. And they obviously were not happy that they weren't in the top four. I don't want to rub it in, by the way, but not only did they bring me beer, they just brought us food. It's like some nachos there. That looks terrific. Yeah.
No, you just rubbed it in, just yeah. FYI.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You got beer, you got
kinda,
nachos.
Kind of deserve it after the day we're all having here.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I'm not saying true. You don't. It's nice of them to come over and do that, but yeah, and beer books. So
oh, look
we're just
at
getting loaded up on stuff here.
Yeah,
man. So you got any thoughts on the NFL game tonight? I probably will be flipping back and forth, and if the UH game gets out of hand, I am looking at two possible plays tonight, just from a gambling perspective. I'm actually looking at the under on UH, and I'm also looking at the under on the Saints, because they're both about 5 points higher than what they should be. Although I had a prime computer play last night that didn't come close on that, and that's kind of what these are. But kind of look at the under in both of them. So,
I, you know, honestly, I mean, I think the question is, do you even care about the NFL game. I mean, we talked about this earlier, and the thing is when they made this schedule that seemed like a good game, it was supposed to be, but it's not even interesting now. I think it would be third if I was going to a comedy contest. I think it would probably be third on my watch list. It'd go U of H, Louisville, and then it would be the Rockets, and then it would be Panthers, Saints, because NFL's got to do better on Thursdays, that's for sure.
Well, I watched that Rockets game last night, and I got so frustrated watching the fourth quarter. I'm like, it's like, okay, guys, why did I watch the first three quarters?
Yeah.
And this is what you do to me in the fourth quarter. You come out here, you go, they were 6-for-20 at one point, or 5-for-20, and the good news was Oklahoma City was 6-for-20. And what they went like, what, 6 minutes without a field goal?
Yeah.
That was wonderful to watch.
The scary thing is, if you go back and look at the box scores from even over the last just five games that they've had, they have progressively gotten worse quarter to quarter. They start off scoring mid-30s in the first quarter, and then just like last night, they score under 20, and they've done that at least twice in the last five games, which is it either means they're just getting their legs under them and they've got to get in shape, or they're just losing it over time, and once defenses start to catch on to what they're doing in the game – they don't have an answer for it. And if I have to watch James Harden dribble out the shot clock one more time, I'm just going to have to flip the channel and give up on these guys because it's getting ridiculous.
That is the hardest thing to watch. And I was at I was actually at Christian's downtown last night watching the game, and it's coming down when they're down three and Harden's about to jack up the three. Every single person in the bar is like, anybody but Harden.
Yeah.
Anybody but Harden, take the shot. No, Harden took the shot, but what are you going to do? So Ron says Twitter prayers up for AJ is the Real's wife's new car. It was a good run. It was a good run. I wonder if that thing even got over 50 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should set an over-under.
Yes,
the odometer was at.
Yeah, the odometer. That's great. Yeah.
I'm going to set the number at, well, you figure because they've already got a little on them, and then you had to test drive it, and he drove it yesterday. I'm going to set the number at 67.
Oh, that's a good number. Because, yeah, you figure 15 to get it off the truck, right? From the time they make it, put it on the truck, it gets delivered. It may have gone through a test drive or two, and then he puts the miles on it, getting it home. She drove it around to show all her friends and family, and then he drove it into somebody. So that total, yeah, I'm going to go under. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to go about 60.
I should have made it 67 and a half.
Yeah, you should have.
That's a perfect number.
Yeah, that really is. 65 is like right on.
And then Tyler sent a tweet from the Astros that they've acquired Brian McCann from the Yankees.
No way.
In exchange for Albert Abreu and Jorge Guzman. So if that is correct, that is a pretty good pickup. All right, Jerome Solomon is here on site and will be joining me next segment. So, Barry, thanks for helping out as always, man. You are a good dude. Always always love having a few segments with you, man.
You bet, man. Have a good show.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. So if you are in the area, and by the way, I got a lot of friends and family down here. Get your butts out here. Come on out and say hello. We will be here till 7 o'clock. And, are you good?
No, I'm not on.
Yeah, there you go. I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear me.
Jerome Solomon's
here.
Oh,
yeah, give me some.
So, yeah, it's okay. Feel free.
I was going to say, you know, all your friends, most of your friends and family are down here. Aren't they incarcerated?
Oh, that's not fair. Most are on,
but they're in the area.
Most are on probation now. Come on. It's maybe a few. Yeah, it's okay. So maybe we should do a show in Huntsville so that my family can come.
So you get come out close to the show. To your boys.
Yeah. Welcome, man. Appreciate you filling in. It's kind of a, you know, we're just sort
it was
of
a
like,
last minute thing. No
yeah,
problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got here much.
I'm
quicker.
Glad to do it. I know how AJ is so adverse to hopping on I-45 South. So I wasn't quite buying the accident thing. And I hear you and Barry talking about trying to decide whether he was at fault or not. It's a no-brainer. He's clearly at fault because the first thing you say when you have an accident when you're not at fault is some clown, some fool, some jerk rammed into me. If you just say, I had an accident, you hit something. It's pretty simple.
Oh, Gerald, mileage of AJ Carr over under Warrior win total this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how you do it, Gerald. That's how you put it together. And CP wants to know, over under one dump for Jerome Solomon this show. I'm going to set that number at 1.5.
See, I don't dump. You know, in studio. Well, that's right. We're not in studio.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
it only happens usually when he's on the phone. I don't think we've ever had to dump you when we've just been doing a show together.
No, not at all. Because I mean, I'm professional. I have a headset on.
The phone's a different animal. Hey, I want your take on this. Am I wrong to fight back against these people on speaker phones in the elevator?
No, you're not, because I when you mentioned it, I thought about it. Even when I'm not on a speakerphone, I'm just on a regular phone and I'm talking, the elevator opens, I tell the person, hold on, I'm getting on the elevator, you either hold or I'll call you back as soon as I get off.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, the last time I did it was in Denver when the Texans played there on Monday night a couple weeks ago, and I was on the third floor, so it wasn't like a long elevator ride, and I said, hold on, I'm getting on the elevator, I'll get back to you in a minute. It's not that complicated.
And then, of course, you get the, wait a minute. And they're yelling into it because it's cutting off because you're in an elevator.
Yeah, that's
all right,
that's,
so I'm
that's
not
very,
wrong.
It's very irritating.
Is it a dick move to fight back?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's our responsibility on some level. People are not raising their children right. It's our responsibility to set their children straight. Because, you know, that's just the way it is. So if you raise a little jerk of a child, I'm going to put him or her in their place every chance I get.
All right. Well, there are several people who listen to the show who live in my building. Just be forewarned, if you do that, there will be repercussions starting as soon as I get home today, where I can guarantee you, because when I get home, I'll be a little bit later because we're down here. Anytime between 7:40 and 8 o'clock, it just wall-to-wall people in those elevators. Mm-hmm. There will be one person in there.
But see, even conversations with people, if you and I are talking and we get on the elevator, we shut it
up.
Down, period, until we get to where.
Yeah. I mean, that's, exactly. Yeah. I just automatically stop. And if somebody says hello, you do that. That's cool. You'd be friendly. But I don't know. It's not just – for me, it's more obvious because it's elevators, but the problem is in public and in restaurants and everything else, and it's got to stop. It's a menace. It has to be stopped. And hey, we finally stopped the killer clown menace. So I think this
Lord,
is a new thing we have to go
let's
after.
Let's not go back to that foolishness again.
What do you think of this Astros trade? If it's
I haven't seen it yet because
I've just seen
just
that tweet
it.
And I just somebody tweeting what looks like an Astros account, but I have not seen anything official. So I don't want to. Make too big a deal out of it.
Well, simply put, any move they make is a positive because they're in a good situation and they need to start adding players and adding guys who can make a difference. So, yeah, immediately I'll say it's a good thing because I want them to be more active because sitting still where they are is not the right move. That's a move that's not going to work out for you.
Jeff Luhnow actually made an announcement. He said, we entered the offseason with the acquisition of a catcher as a primary focus. Brian McCann is a great fit for the Astros as he is not only a good defensive catcher, he's also a left-handed hitter with proven run-producing ability. His experience and ability to impact his teammates will be
a significant
benefit to our team.
Yeah, the Astros announced it officially 10 minutes ago in an email they sent out. So, yeah, it was beyond time to do something about Castro. I mean, he wasn't as good of a defender, defensive catcher, and pitcher handler to make up for hitting like you and I would hit. I mean, at some point,
he had one year.
You have to
he
be
had that one year
that.
Where you think, you know what? I think this guy can do it.
No, he had that one year where you think, I think this guy can be a little below average. You never thought he could be great.
No, he had one really good offense. Well, I don't want to say really good, but for a catcher. An above-average offensive season, and then that was it, and never again.
You're in the American League, and it's 2016. You have to score runs, and you just can't have that big of a hole in your lineup. I mean, it's just too big of a hole in your lineup at a run-producing position, especially when they've had issues at first base and sometimes at third base. And, I mean, different places along the lineup, they have enough star-caliber players that they need to add more and more and more. And, yeah, the more you add, the better you are. I mean, that's for any team. But I think this team is close. This team is close enough that you don't sit around waiting for it. Well, it was. I don't care how bad, good or bad they were. You're not waiting for Castro. I mean that.
Yeah, that day was. You had to do something to get better there. Man, I just
yeah,
noticed
he did it in 2013. He hit .276. So that one year
for a catcher, that's a good year, man.
Yeah, but 18 homers and 56 RBI
for a catcher. That is a
56
well
RBI. But you know,
dude, if you got that out of him every year, you'd be punching the clown. I mean that would be a dream season for a catcher. If you could tell me, if you could put that in every year, I'll take it.
In the last 2 years, he's had 31 RBI, 32 RBI.
Yeah, like I said, one year he fooled us. So I don't know if you remember this guy, but I guess John Morosi is like breaking everything now. This dude's got 219,000 followers for MLB. He interned with us.
No, I do not remember him.
It was maybe you were in Boston, but it was kind of funny. He was actually a business intern, but he really wanted to do sports, so we stole him and made the business people
start using him.
But he went. I just remember he went to Harvard.
Ah,
but he's a big noise now. That's interesting. He says it's always old people on the phone. I don't have a lot of old people in my building. I have a lot of law students and stuff. This is mostly young people, but also some old people.
Yeah, it doesn't matter your age. You're very inconsiderate, and it's it's irritating. Now I'm not with you on the restaurant thing as much. I think we've moved past the time where you used to walk in places and they go no cell phone usage because you're bothering people next to you. You and I are sitting there and we're talking. We can talk, so why can't I talk on my phone? What difference does it make? Mind your own business. Stay out of my conversation. I don't do it as much, but it doesn't bother me because I'm not going to tell somebody sitting at a table they can't have a conversation. In an elevator, that's different, you know. On a bus, you know.
See, my problem in restaurants, though, it's always loud talkers, and they're always having these loud phone conversations.
Yeah, but the loud talker would bother you if they were sitting there talking
they
to somebody
would.
Sitting next to
they
them,
would.
Too.
But I'm pretty sure that most of the time they do it because the person with them knows how irritating they are and won't talk to them. So that's why they get on the phone and talk.
Crank it up a little bit.
If I get a call here, I walk outside. And that's even if it's packed in here and people are talking.
Right.
That's
I do that all the time, too.
But
I don't want people to know where I am.
All right. what's your take on UH Louisville tonight? We talked a little bit with Barry about it in the first segment, but I wanted to see what you thought was going to happen.
I think it's going to be pretty interesting because one thing about U of H in the state that they're in now, they can get up for big games. That's one thing that Herman is really good at being able to muster. And his players respond to that atmosphere, that excitement, that buildup, and they're going to have plenty of that buildup. The stadium is going to be packed and rocking. It's not the norm that they get at U of H. I don't care how much they try to sell it as if the place is rocking all the time. It's not. It will be on Thursday night. And in general, you're the gambler guy. Home dogs on Thursday nights in over the last 20 years of these Thursday night ESPN games are that's the place to pay attention to. I expect it to be fun and interesting. It's going to be difficult for them to win, though, but it should be fun.
Yeah, I think they're going to get their – I think they're going to get –
I think they're going to get smoked. Huh?
Yeah, I just – the team that started the season I have seen one time since, and that was the fourth quarter of the UCF game. Mm-hmm. That's it. The rest of the time they have looked like Tony Levine's Cougars. And part of it is Greg Ward's just beat up.
Oh, man.
He's nowhere near
healthy, and I – unfortunately, they weren't in a position where they could let him sit out for a month to get healthy.
Right. Yeah. And now your backup's gone. So, hey, I want to thank Missy's Meals. That's who brought us the food. They do pairing here with the different beers. and really good stuff. She's here on Thursdays. So check them out here at Saloon Door Brewing, which if you're just getting off work and you're in the Webster area, you need to get your butt in here. But, before we go to break, I need to tell you about some other food. I need to tell you about Omaha Steaks and this great, great offer that they are giving the Blitzers right now. And if you want to get a gift for somebody and you know they like to grill, this is perfect. This is perfect. Or if you just want to have a party, forget the gift. You want it for yourself? Give the gift to yourself. You got all kinds of possibilities. How about this? For only $49.99, you get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar. That's 77% off. $49.99 just for the Blitzers. Here's what you're going to get. You ready for this? Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet. And how about this? Just to throw a little sweetener in there for you. Four additional kielbasa sausages free. And I got to tell you, these are meals, man, and they're fantastic, high quality. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, and add the family gift pack to your cart and get a 77% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
We only sell one. If it's in my brother, because we have the same nose, same clothes, homegrown.
ESPN 97.5.
I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you. Because I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, don't you know? True friends stab you in the front.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler here with Jerome Solomon. A.J. wrecked his wife's new car. We're still waiting on details. We'll pass them on, we get them. I want to let you know the Blitz is at Saloon Door Brewing in Webster until 7. Join us as we broadcast live from the brewery beginning at 4. Stay to watch the Houston-Louisville game on the big screen at 7. So you can come out here. You can watch the game if you're not going. If you're on your way to the game, come stop by. And you know what? If you live in this area, you need to come check this place out. Great beer selection. Terrific food tonight.
I got nice a spot, yeah. And the screen, very nice. I like that.
It's
a mega screen on the wall.
That's especially when the sun goes down, because it's one of those, it's on the wall. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really sharp.
Well, there are two of them up here already, and you can see it. Yeah, this would be a good place to watch.
So come on out if you're in the area, and I know a bunch of you are, because you guys always come out to Saloon Door when we're here. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. And you got any thoughts on the NFL game tonight, Jerome? Where is that going to go on your list of what you watch tonight?
Way down the list. I mean, I think I've argued with you about it, but I know maybe it was with Dave before. But I was against the Thursday night games. Period. Anyway, it's too much. It's too soon. You're still, getting your feel from what happened over all weekend of football and Monday night, and you're just getting started to go, okay, what's coming up this week? And then there's a game on. You're like, well, why? Why do I don't need this game on Thursdays anyway. But, tonight, you got two big-time quarterbacks playing. That should be entertaining and fun, but I just don't need it on Thursday night.
I've always been for it. To me, it's like more football. It's like sex. It's a good thing. The more you have, the better it is.
No, see, but, I don't need it.
I'm coming around because, frankly,
I'm not like you. I'm a little more selective.
Well, you can afford to be. But by Monday, I'm usually footballed out. Not going to lie. So I don't know if that's why, but because I like to watch college games on Thursday, too.
But that's actually part of it. I kind of left that out. Thursday nights, and even big time college on Thursday is a little tricky. Thursday night is for the quirky, you know, wild, high scoring college game that just makes you love the sport for the sport. The home team, the home dog, and that never gets a national TV game, that you'll never watch them on Saturday because the real schools are playing or the big boys are playing. This is where you should get the blue field and the, you know, those kind of play. The U of H's. The U of H game is not going to be Saturday night at 7 o'clock on ABC. You're not going to get those.
No.
You get them on Thursday nights. Leave my Thursday to the great college games, and I'll enjoy it. I just don't need the NFL in the way. And part of it, I'm not even one of those people who are like, oh, the brand or the play isn't very good because they've only had so many days to recover. I end up just not paying attention. Most Thursdays, it's in the middle of the game, and I'll look somewhere on Twitter or something, and I go, oh, wait a minute, it's halftime. There's a game on, because it's not in my rotation. It doesn't fit. And tonight, I'd much rather watch the Rockets, because they're far more entertaining than they've been. And obviously, U of H, that's number one, period. And it would be. I don't care who was playing on Thursday night in the NFL.
It's interesting. I want to get back to Brian McCann, because if you look at his numbers the last three seasons, I think he's kind of a perfect Astro.
Real quick, I was going to tell you, though, beyond that, I pulled up his numbers, too. Jason Castro's career highs are worse than McCann's career lows in home runs and RBIs. This is a huge, huge upgrade. We're talking a seven-time All-Star and, what is it, six-time Silver Slugger, which means he's the best offensive catcher in the leagues he was in. Oh, this is an upgrade. It's not even
well, and he's very good defensively, too. And that was one thing about Castro. He was a good defensive catcher, but this gives you another element, but he's kind of the perfect Astro because...
Yeah, Castro's is Kevin Walter. He's a good blocker.
Yeah, okay. why you got to go to Kevin Walter? That guy's probably retired somewhere, living on a yacht, chilling, and you're going to pull him out of your butt?
He's probably like Sage Rosenfeld. Why y'all got to pull me out of your behind every time you want to take a shot at somebody? Like, well, it is what it is.
That's the Texans' problem. They've gone downhill since they don't have any wide receivers. They need wide receivers. That's what it is. You have to have one.
You gotta have one.
Yeah.
You got to have one.
But as far as what he does, I mean, he hits home runs, and he hits .230. That's pretty much your Astros. So he'll fit right in.
And does he strike out a lot, too?
I'm sure he does. I don't have to look. Actually, he really – actually, his strikeout numbers are very reasonable. So he does make contact. And that's so that will be an anomaly for this team. But, no, I think it's an upgrade. It's a good upgrade. It's one of the three things I think you had to identify in the offseason. And I still think, ideally, you'd like to get a top three arm for the rotation. I don't know how – realistic that is, and I still think you need a thumper outfielder.
And you also consider where they finished last year and what they did. I mean, it's an assumption, but I think you assume they will improve at number one starter, because next year's Keuchel can't be as bad as last year's Keuchel. They'll improve at number two starter because next year's McCullers won't be as bad as last year's McCullers, you hope. And but you still, even last year, they needed to add an arm or two.
Yeah.
And so the arrow is certainly pointing up on this team. Other than them being from Houston, the arrow is pointing
well,
up.
Well, and the one thing I would always mention, I always feel like I have to say when I talk about they need this, some of that may still come internally. I think McCullers is going to be an ace in this league. And he had the arm problems last year. But he has the stuff to be an ace. Oh, and maybe that's your number one starter.
He's at worst a number two. At worst. I mean, and on a really good team. Not just a number two because you don't have anybody else. Like the Astros had a stretch of time where they had some number twos who were number fives on
right,
other staff.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, we've gone so long with all these guys who were supposed to be promising who were never any good. And all those teams that they had were with players that didn't even belong in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. Well, now they've got guys like that, and they've got prospects who might develop, and that's the thing. Maybe that bat I'm talking about winds up being A.J. Reed, and maybe that guy develops this year. Just because it didn't work out for him last year doesn't mean that he doesn't have the potential to do it.
He could turn into – I mean, he's not Singleton. No. Like, you know, we've given up on him, and yeah, maybe Singleton will end up somewhere else and have a season or two where he's pretty solid. A.J. Reed is still – his window of this guy can still turn into a monster is still alive. I mean, that window's still open. Yeah. Singleton, we're like, he may turn into a monster for a couple of seasons somewhere, but it won't be here.
And, yeah, I think Bregman's got a chance to be a really good player for him. So if you have that, and I don't know if they're still in on Gurriel's brother, but if you get a guy like that, that might do it. So,
yeah. And I'll tell you this. I mean, and this is off the subject on that, but Carlos Correa has such star quality about him. I mean, I don't know how much time you've been around him or whatever. This dude is like superstar walking. It's so impressive to see him have handled everything that he's handled at his age already. But, I mean, it's like he's got beautiful women. He's got the look. He's got the style. He handles the media like a professional. He's friendly. He remembers who you are. He's doing things so perfectly to this point that you're like, he can't be this good, but I think he is. I mean, I really do think he is. And it's going to be fun watching that guy continue to be a superstar here in Houston over the next however long it is. And of course, Altuve.
Yeah,
until they come with the $300 million.
Yeah, Gurriel signed with the Blue Jays. That happened last weekend while I was out of town, so I didn't see it. So that one's off the table. Or at least my Jays got another player. All right, guys, got to tell you about...
You darn Canadian.
No way.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Not at all. Not at all. All right, guys, got to tell you about MyBookie. And I guess people are telling me they've been having little problems. Their website, I think, has been down a little bit, so just stick with it or give a call to customer service. I'm sure that'll get it straightened out here pretty quickly. But the good thing about MyBookie is that customer service, they will respond. They do a great job with that. They're constantly offering you reload bonuses. And the other thing I like about them, the thing I like most about MyBookie is I've been able to get money out of there with no problems. And some of the other websites that I've been using have just been, they've been awful. I mean, if you wait weeks to get a check, you get a really big score, you might take a month to get it. And that's not the case with MyBookie. You're going to get paid. College football, NFL, you like those horse races I was talking about this weekend. They've got a great race book. And one of my favorite things to do is sit there on Saturday all day, just play ponies and play football. And enjoy my site on mybookie.lv. Right now, 50% bonus if you want to sign up. Use promo code FRED. That's right, a 50% bonus just by using promo code FRED. Visit mybookie.lv today or call 844-900-BETS. That's 844-900-BETS. You play, you win, you get paid. Time to ditch your bookie. Time to try MyBookie.